Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Yes, sir. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the Bleed Blue Show. I'm your co-host, Steve, alongside my Bleed Blue partner in crime, Chris. We are joined with our Bleed Blue Show Knicks analyst and Knicks first take on Angel. What up, Angel? What's going on? What up, Chris?
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, man, we will be breaking down Knickerbocker basketball and sports the Bleed Blue way. 929-477-4171 is the calling number to the Bleed Blue Show. Press the number one button on your touchtone phone if you want to be live on the air for any questions or comments. You can also listen and call into the Bleed Blue Show via Skype. You can also follow Steve on Twitter at SB First Amendment and also Chris at ChristopherNY14. Also, you can join the conversation via the text message or email right now from your cell phone, tablet, personal computer, or electronic device. For scores, news updates, transactions, and up-to-the-minute links to future broadcasts on the Bleed Blue Show, chat line, also known as the Blue Line, send an email request to the varsitybleedblue@gmail.com. I also want to give a shout out to, you know, my boy Crazy 8, that's Al. Please check out the orange and blue obglobal.net that contains an archive footage of Knicks full video articles and discussions. YouTube channel obglobal.net, that is obglobal.net, YouTube channel obglobal.net, fans unite. And I also want to give a shout-out to the Knicks First fan page, your source for Knickerbocker updates and graphics. Like and share the page on Facebook. Know them on, follow them on Instagram at Knicks_First_take and message them on Kick at Kick_First_take. That was a lot, fellas. What's going on, man?
How is your tongue not tired after saying all that?
Oh, man. There's a lot of shout-outs, man. I know we got
I'm pretty sure I would have taken a sip of water in between some of the else.
That's what I saw today. That's what I was saying.
So what's going on, man? Like, what's the news, man? We got, you know, we got summer league talk. We got, you know, we had, since the last show, Melo was not signed. Now he's signed for a little bit under the, you know, the maximum. So what's your thought?
Carmelo Anthony signing to a 5-year deal worth 124 as opposed to signing for the maximum 129.1. I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's here. I'm just kind of getting sick and tired of hearing all the Melo haters saying, you know, he took the money over, you know, winning a championship in Chicago, or he could have taken a little bit less. He's not worth it. I mean, come on, people. Y'all know this is James Dolan's money and not yours. Let him get as much of it as he can. It's not coming to you. Let him have it at least. And, I mean, I'm happy he's here. I don't know about y'all.
Right. Well, I agree. I agree with you 100%. I think what I'm hearing is most of the Melo hating is coming from either Heat fans that just lost a certain player. Brooklyn fans who are just in despair right now.
Sorry.
And also, even Cleveland fans who just have just this envy streak about them right now. And that's okay. We get to see them, what, I think 5-4 times this year, right? Maybe. So we'll settle it then. But until then, man, you know, right now it's July whining amongst these so-called pretenders what's the barnstorming? What's the word we use when the guy can't? They claim they're LeBron followers and not.
Oh, the bandwagon fan.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it. I wanted somebody else to say it.
You mean the not the Heat fans, the Heat wherever Heat at fans.
That's right. Well, man, oh, Angel, I got to write that down, bro.
Hey, there's a picture of Rihanna where there's a big ass meme. It's on my on Nick's first take. Man, a lot of people got just like messaging me. It's like, where'd you find that? I'm like, I didn't make it up. One of my boys did. I'm like, shh. I never said I was a He fan. I'm just a fan of wherever He at.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden there's a bunch of Cavalier fans that just automatically appeared. Wow, just in the last week or so. I don't know what it did. I can't. Let me see.
Well,
I didn't know anything before Friday.
Well, aside from all the Cavalier fans that just all of a sudden came out, now, isn't it kind of funny that LeBron James goes home to Cleveland, takes the maximum allowed, only says a two-year deal because he's trying to maximize his earnings, and we can get into that later if we have time. But, you know, he goes home to, you know, he's from Akron, so he goes to play for the home team Cleveland Cavaliers, takes the max salary, and now he's revered a hero. As opposed to Carmelo Anthony, born out of Red Hook, Brooklyn.
In like 50 years. They're desperate.
I know. That sucks. That's a hell of an analogy, man. First of all, Steve, you got something to announce?
Yeah, nothing much, man. The phone number 929-477-4171. We got a couple callers on the line. I want to first bring in a caller from the 718 to call come into the queue. What's going on, 718?
Yo,
what's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah,
can we talk about Mello?
Why is there so much of an echo?
I love Mello.
Hey, what's your name? Where you calling from?
And I am from obglobal.net. Thank you for the props, Crazy Eight. He's the man. And I like his show, and I like Steve Blair. And I like Nick's take, and I like it all.
Man, my head hurts just from that.
But I would like to talk about Mello and this new deal, because everyone's complaining. He gave him too much money. He can't shoot. He can't shoot in the clutch. You know what I'm saying? But I disagree. I think that Phil and Fish are going to turn him into a complete player. He will be more of a defensive player.
Hey, 718, what's your name, though? You got the echo thing going on.
Elevate his game under the tutelage of the greatest basketball mind in NBA history. Word!
Okay, so he's calling from the 718 thinking he's from Brooklyn, but actually he's calling from the moon.
I'm crazy.
Calling from the Bronx, baby.
Can you turn up your echo, please?
Yeah, can you turn up the echo real quick, man?
What do you think about JR? Do you think the Knicks are going to actually put him on the trading block? Or is that just a bunch of BS put out by the
Well, 718, we can't hear you, man. You got the echo going on. Can you turn off that echo thing real quick?
I cannot because I am on the moon.
Oh, man. Yo, hold that thought. We got another call from the 757. 757, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Steve Blair, man? Man, it's your boy Joe from Atlanta, via Virginia Beach, via New York. What up, family?
What up, Doug? Right here, Joe.
Hey, man, what's going on, man? Man, I'm about to burn up my house cooking some food, man. So let me call y'all up, man, so I can get the hell out of here, man. Starting to smoke in here, man. In line. And look, hey, man, that guy with the echo, man, I had this girl over here last night, man. That's how she was sounding last night, man. It was the echo, man. Everything was the echo. I said, you know what? I said, you make it the hell out of my house. I'm going to turn on some damn summer league.
I'm watching that right now. Houston's creaming the Toronto Raptors. I'm not even watching anymore.
Hey, man, I heard you guys talking about LeBron, man. And
LeBron.
I just kind of sat here and watched this whole week kind of materialize. And I'll talk about Melo in a minute, but, you know, I don't think anybody realizes it, but that guy, I mean, prior to what he did this week, he was probably one of the most hated athletes in the history of athletes, man. Just the things that he's done, he's been one of the most hated athletes and the most rooted against athletes, but he almost had to do this, you know. And so I'm not even really mad at him for doing it. It kind of changes the landscape of the Eastern Conference, but he almost had to do this really to kind of at least, you know, at least in a court of public opinion, be considered, you know, one of the all-time greats. I mean, he's a great player, and nobody can take that away from him. But, you know, he would have been easily forgotten if he wouldn't have done this. But now, you know, hey, you know what they say. You know, you can always save face. And he did that.
Hey, Joe, this is Chris. What do you, let me ask you something. What, if you're a fly on the wall, what do you think he and Riley talked about at that revered Las Vegas meeting?
Well, I mean, me personally, I mean, knowing Pat Riley kind of got cocky, thinking that he would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty evident he had his mind made up already. I think it was going to be contingent on how they did in the finals. That's just my opinion. You know, and obviously, you know, that team is that's an old team now, Miami, and everything. And really, his skill set really suits the Cavaliers a lot better. So I think Pat Riley, man, he blew it from that press conference. That press conference, he blew it. I tell you. So that's all I got to say about that, man. I'm not surprised. But you know what they say? Karma is a bitch.
It's not it.
Karma.
Hey, it could have been worse. LeBron could have sent them a fax.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Oh, my God.
Would have been nice, but he could have sent him the facts. Well, since that was 1995, we're in 2014. He probably could have Skyped them as like, "Yo, I'm out," or like Snapchat him or something.
I know, man. Damn. So I'm not mad at him, man, but I am glad my man Mello was back on the scene.
That's right.
If y'all remember from two calls ago, I was telling y'all about Shane Larkin.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yep.
Man. Hey, man, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And they run that triangle pretty nice, man, out there, those young guys.
You see, CBS Sports kind of disrespected the Knicks, right? They had them not in the playoffs. Y'all seen that, guys?
I'm not worried about them. You know, I truly believe that big, tall dude that just became the president of the Knicks can pull rabbits out of his hat. His pedigree and his resume speaks for itself. And I'm not worried about him. I mean, I'm dumb, rather, with the haters. You know, it's not a big thing to me at all. It's not. And the haters are also sports media, you know, who don't want to see this relationship work. They don't want to see... How do you say it? It's like, you know, it's almost like they feel, and this is really silly and childish actually, but it's almost like they feel Phil's had enough championships. You know what I mean? Like he's already been there. Let someone else have a chance. Well, if you're a Knicks fan, fuck that. You don't want to hear that.
You're talking about the fan base that hails from the city that in another sport owns 27 world championships.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, no. We ain't done till we hit like 1,000 and then we all dead.
That's right. That's right.
So, and then our kids are going to be asking for the same thing.
Yeah, there's some kind of envy here associated with this, you know. The media, the sports media is a very fickle friggin' industry. You know, right now, Popovich can't do any wrong there. And rightfully so. Okay?
Well, you got an extension just now.
Right. But then they'll turn around, and if Pop just, I don't know, I don't even know how to explain it. If Pop does not kiss their ass, which he's not going to, then they're going to form some kind of coalition and some conspiracy because they're a club too, the sports media. You know, it's just yes. So I'm not even worried about that, man. I just know Melo's back. He's in good graces with Phil Jackson believes in him. He's going to build his team around him, and people hate that fact. So fuck him. That's it. There's not really much to this argument.
Right.
You know, there's really not much to this. It's just it's regular hatred. For this particular franchise. And also, I think it was announced either yesterday or today that the Knicks are probably the most valuable NBA franchise.
We are. worth $1.4 billion. We're ranked 13th among all sports franchises around the world.
Now you know why there's so much hate there. That plays into it. You know, so I'm not worried about you.
While you're here, Chris, and this is for everybody, what do you guys think of our new acquisition, Jason Smith, that we just signed to a $3.3 million deal last night?
Well, you know what? The sad thing is he automatically becomes the best defensive big man we got. Automatically. Just by signing that contract, he stepped right in it. And I think he has knee problems. I really don't know much about the dude.
Knee problems and got some goon in him.
A little bit.
That's what we need. I'm good with that.
If you ask Steve, I sent him a bunch of clips last night of Jason Smith, and there was this one where he just like tackles the crap out of Blake Griffin and knocks him out cold.
I kind of remember that too when it happened. That was crazy.
Right, that's him.
Yeah. That's him.
Oh, well, I feel good about this.
Yeah,
you
know? He got a little Mikhail in him on that one game he playing.
Oh.
I think,
hey guys, but you know what? Hey, you know what? It's really good. I don't know a lot about the guy either, admittedly so, but I will say this. You know, you got to have somebody to protect your superstar. You got to have that one guy that's going to be the guy that's going to get in some people's faces, that's going to disrupt, that's going to be a banger, doesn't mind hitting the floor, and doesn't mind putting somebody on the floor. So, you know, I mean, this team is taking shape like those Chicago teams, like those Laker teams. I mean, Pete, their roles are starting to kind of fall into place.
I'm
going to bring the caller in. I'm Joe. I'm going to let you finish your point and bring another caller in from 626. 626, what's going on, man?
Yeah, 626 here. This is Jerry. What's up, guys?
Hey,
nothing much, man. Just here listening to you guys just right now. I almost forgot about you guys are on the air today, but luckily I just noticed my post that I posted up on Facebook, and, yeah, I'm just calling in right now.
Okay. I'll let you get your 2 cents in real quick. Joe, go ahead and finish your point. Sorry about that.
Yeah. But,
Hey, Joe.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Right now.
Go ahead, man.
Hold on, Jerry. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, no. Like I was going to say, what you guys were saying, right now I definitely enjoy what I'm seeing from the Summer League, you know, with our young, you know, with our young future, you know, doing their business right now on the court.
Right.
And the one player that really stand out for me big time, of course, obviously, Jeremy Tyler, he's no stranger, but he's definitely put in the works as far as his foot. His footwork is definitely has gotten a lot better, you know, compared to last season. I kind of noticed that in his mid-range game has really so far, you know, captured my attention more because I understand that the guy can shoot the mid-range jumper, but not as smooth as he's right now performing in this summer league. And he's actually capturing it. He's really putting my, you know, getting my attention on that.
That's good. We need all the mobility we can get.
We can't. We need it right now, especially with that guy. I mean, you were talking about him too the other about a couple of minutes ago. Shane Larkin. Even though his shot selection needs to, you know, it's at work, but I really do like his ball facilitating. I mean, he's really facilitating the ball very well, and he's definitely aggressive on the D, which I think he'll be more valuable as a void to help out with Jose Calderon. Since he's weak on his D, at least with Shane Larkins, if he comes out as a second string behind him, he'll definitely fill in that void very nicely.
What do we do? Hey, Joe, that's your – hold on, guys. Hey, Joe, go ahead and finish your – man, that's Shane Larkins, your boy right there.
Hey, yeah, man, that's my boy, man. And like I said before, he's going to actually be all right. You know, with having Pablo on the team, having Calderon on the team. I mean, you learned it from two guys. I mean, Calderon, he was an all-star, right? Am I correct?
Yep.
So he learned it from some legends, man. Pablo was a legend in the Spanish league. So I think you got to hold on to him. The guy can penetrate, and he's a beast. He likes to get inside, you know. But you know, just like with anything, man, you got to work on that jumper in the off season. You got to work on that jumper in the summertime, man. So he'll probably be all right. This is only his second. He going into his second year. So he's going to be fine, man. I mean, he couldn't have picked a better place to be and two guards to be learning behind, you know. So definitely that's going to be all right.
What are we missing right now?
We're still missing, you know, like a good power forward. Yeah, and the only reason I say that is, that, yeah, I know we have Bargnani. I know we have Dallenberg. We have Stoudemire. But, you know, you have a lot of question marks on, you know, on that end. So, you know, maybe one or two more bigs would probably be, you know, helpful. And I think I just read something yesterday about that. You know, there might be a good chance that, you know, since with the addition of Jason Smith, that, you know, Jeremy Tyler might be the odd man out, you know, in the same respect that, you know, with the shooting guard situation with J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Tim Hardaway Jr., one of those guys may have to go, you know, have to just go just to make space. So I know we have, like, we still have at least one or two more moves to make, and who knows if they'll be big ones.
Wow. Hey, well, you know what? I, you know, just to piggyback off of that, this in the triangle offense, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, you know, that's an offense for, you know, big men passing the ball, but it's also an offense for big men that know how to shoot the jumper. Now, the Stoudemire 2 years ago, that's a guy that can hit the open jump shot. Yeah, I know Bargnani can hit the open jump shot. So if those guys are healthy and they're in that offense, we're going to be fine. You know, they just and obviously it's an offense where you don't tire so easy, so you'll have the energy on the defensive end to be able to defend and rebound and, you know, go ahead and get up the floor and everything. So I'm just thinking, you know, if those guys can just kind of just get that health situation straight. And I think Bargnani's going to be okay. He had that injury. It was a nasty injury. It was a nasty fall.
Right.
But I think he's going to probably be all right in this offense. I'm excited about this, man. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Hey, guys. Hold on. I'm going to bring Al into the line. Al, what's going on? Al, how you doing?
Hey, Steve. I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Yeah, hang in there, man. It was a good day to be in AC, man. We can ask in this league, man. I know you like what you see, man.
Sorry, dude. You're breaking up on me a bit there. I can't hear what you're saying. Hang on.
Yeah, I think my connection's getting that way, too.
There we go. That should be good. Hello, gents. Yes, I'm actually doing a bit of work at the moment on my computer, but... I heard you just talking about Jeremy Tyler, and I thought I'd like to chime in.
By all means.
Oh, yeah, great. No, I'm really happy with the kid in Summer League. He's doing really well. I heard Jerry referred to his... how are you, Jerry?
Yeah, how are you? What's up?
I'm good, man. Good, thanks. Jerry referred to his work technically. It's been pretty exceptional. I'm really happy with it. I mean, people have been saying, I'm not sure who it was saying that, you know, we've got Stats and Bargnani also, you know, are likely to play a big role in trying to jump shooters. But I alluded to this last time I put in was in regard to the fact that Stoudemire and Bargnani are both expiring contracts. Whether or not that's going to be part of Greg Fisher's you know, thought process about how we're going to balance the guys out and they are requiring contracts, we've got to move forward at the same time. So I would like to see Jeremy Tyler get some minutes there because he's also better defender than the two of them put together. So I just thought I'd throw that in for a bit of conversation.
Oh, hold on. I think you're breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me, though?
Hey, man.
I hear you better, Steve.
Oh, shit. Hang on. I think my mic's all right. Oh, hang on. I'll just check my shit.
Hey, guys. I think I know what the problem may be. If the guy is talking through his computer, and if he's trying to do something on his computer, that's why he's breaking up.
Right. Yeah. I'm just doing some blueprints at the moment. All right. Hey, can you hear me all right now?
No, you're still breaking up, boss.
Damn. All right. Well, I'll try and call back in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, fellas.
We'll get you back on. And we got another call from the 646. 646, what's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, is this T?
Yes, it's me.
What's going on, mama? How you doing?
I'm fine. How y'all doing?
What's up, baby?
What's up?
How you doing? How you doing?
Hola, mamacita.
I'm just sitting here listening to y'all go on about the Knicks.
And what you think?
How y'all feel, the players we need and everything.
Okay.
Well, you tell us, what do you think we need?
I think we really need a good big man.
Well, we just picked up one yesterday.
Say that again?
We just signed one yesterday. We signed Jason Smith, 7-foot white boy. Kind of a
boom. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to see what he could do. That way that would help us because we don't really have no big men like that. Stoudemire, I don't know what's up with him. He's playing real scared lately, so.
Hold my knees.
So, and then he's always hurt, so. That's another thing. That's another issue we be having. We can't stay healthy.
Something about a contract year, though, I tell you.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised.
Okay. So let me ask a question real quick. I want to go back. Who was it? Was it Joe? Who just said something about Bargnani real quick? Somebody.
Me. That was me. That was Joe. That was me.
Okay.
Refrain from calling him the doofy white boy again, please.
Say again?
Refrain from calling him the goofy white boy again.
No, I'm not. I didn't call him that to begin with. I'm just saying, I don't know. I was hard on dude last year, man. He really upset me, and I know I'm not the only one.
No, you're not.
But, yes, I do agree this could be an offense he could flourish in. Okay. Now, are you saying that you expect big things out of the guy, being that this is a brand new system, or what? What exactly?
Okay.
That's my question.
All right.
He's always my okay. J.R. Smith on my X Factor. You know?
Okay. I was gonna try to explain myself on that one. Y'all remember about 3 weeks ago? I was saying, I mean, to me, Mike Woodson, he's a great defensive coach, but he's an awful X and O's coach as far as like diagramming plays and running an offense. This is something the Knicks haven't had probably, you know, since the Jeff Van Gundy days, where they actually ran some type of offense and the ball went through a few people. So all I'm basically saying is this, you know, I don't care if you don't have a lot of talent. We have a lot of talent on the Knicks. All I'm trying to say is this: if we only had half the talent and we run the triangle offense, the team will win 40 games. You know, them just going down the court, being confident enough to what they're going to be doing with the ball on the offense, it's going to make a big difference. And with Bargnani, you know, that's a guy, he has a fragile psyche. So if his confidence is high, man, the guy's a hot player, man. The guy could be an all-star player, but, you know, his mind got to be right. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's good. No, I was just wondering why you – hey, listen, are we keeping meta? What? What's going on with that?
He's trying to get back on the team, but. Whoa!
Who's that?
That was somebody's kid. That's somebody's
okay.
kid.
Okay.
It's not mine.
Not mine.
That's mine. Sorry. That's mine. Sorry.
Oh, you good? You good?
You a big fan?
I'm training them right now.
Right.
You got to start them off right. That's why my son's a big Knicks fan.
There you go. Orange and blue.
He cannot stand anybody who doesn't wear it.
I hear you, man. Neither could I.
Seriously, man. It's like my son was so happy, you know, back in 2010 when I was, when we were in the big, you know, we're going to get LeBron. He was so hoping. When he heard that he was going to Miami, he cursed his name and hasn't stopped cursing him since. I just now recently started teaching him. You know, you can hate him as a player, but as a person, he's okay. It's black and white with him. He doesn't care. He's not a Knick. Fuck him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, man. I mean, we emptied our whole roster 4 or 5 years ago expecting this dude to show up, man.
Then we did it again when we got Melo.
Hey, but you know what? But you know what the difference is?
I don't want him to be a Knick, though.
Hey, but you know what it is? First of all, LeBron's scared to play in New York. Carmelo is not scared to play in New York. That's the difference.
He thrives in it.
Carmelo's a fucking man. LeBron is a child. He's just a talented child.
I agree totally.
Yeah. I have to go with that. I'll start on that one. Yeah. You have to have a special backbone to play here anyway. You know?
You do.
I mean, you got
to I was just about to say that, but I was going to say it in a very much harsher way.
Go ahead and continue.
Be harsh.
I don't know. Can you use profanity up here?
We'll take it.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
As well as the child's in bed.
Well, I'm going to just say we don't allow no bitch asses on the next team. And that's what LeBron is full of.
Preach on, my sister. Preach on.
He is full of bitch assness, and I want him affiliated with the New York Knicks at all. I don't care if he can shoot 100,000 points in one game. I don't want him. He doesn't fit.
Hey, but you know what they're saying about him in Miami, right? You know his new name is in Miami, right?
What, LeGon?
LeBitch.
Well, wasn't Cleveland saying that shit 4 years ago? Now he's their hero again?
Wow.
Bunch of two-timers, huh?
But you know what? This is not really to defend LeBron, LeBitch, or whatever his name is, but my thing is this. You know, Miami fans are fair-weather, lying-ass bastard fans anyway. They ain't loyal as shit except the Sun, okay? There's no real Miami Heat fans. Everybody's a bandwagoner there.
It's a football town.
There's no pedigree there. You know, like, we die blue. You know what I mean? We live and breathe this shit. And if it ain't this, it's the Bronx or it's Brooklyn. It's something. But we bleed this shit all fucking time, you know. And we have been for years on end. And places like Miami, you know what I'm saying? You can't really take them seriously. And they breed bitches anyway.
Well, if you look at the city of Miami, you know, overall as a fan base, let's take a look at it overall. This is a city that has won 2 World Series and 3 NBA championships.
Yep.
And yet, when the team is winning, the fans still don't show up on time. Right. You could be in the NBA Finals. The game is going to start at 9:00, and they're still looking for parking and trying to get into the arena, which that kind of sickens me. As opposed to if you go to the Garden,
if you're not
there 2 hours beforehand, you're going to have to fight for your seat. The seat that's on your ticket, you have to fight for it.
Very true.
That's true.
You do that at the Garden. You do that at Yankee Stadium. My dad, you know, he got free tickets to go see the Nets. He had the same problem at Barclays Center because that's how New York rolls. New York is about our sports. If you got a ticket, you still got to show up 2 hours early, like you're about to go on a flight.
No loyalty. No loyalty.
And it's the same thing when you guys are in Philly, man.
In Philly, I'm there. If tip-off's at 7:15, I'm there at 4.
Yeah,
that's right. Because there's real fans in Philly, like there are in Boston. Like there are in Baltimore. Fuck Miami. I'm sorry.
and you know what? For years, I used to live in Southern California. I used to say there was no such thing as a real Laker fan, but to be real with you, there are. There are some diehard Laker fans, and they are just as bad as New Yorkers. Especially if you talk about they Lakers. You say anything about they purple and gold, they ready to kill your ass.
The Fakers?
I'm talking about the diehards, the true purple and gold Laker nation. I'm not talking about, you know, the SAs up the street that just want to wear your jersey because it matches their hat.
No, I'm right. No, you're right about that.
I never met a real one. I never met a real one yet. Everyone is a Faker fan. and
Jerry,
they
you
say
in
I'm
South,
a Kobe
Southern
fan.
California, right?
Yeah, you know something. I'll be honest with you. I'm me coming from the East Coast. I'm originally, of course, from Connecticut, born and raised. But ever since coming out to the West Coast, there's a very few that I bump into that really bleed purple and gold. Although, you know, just like the other fellow just said, they're not, so the ones that just dress up like the essays for the hell of it, those people don't even give a shit about the Lakers for nothing. But the ones that really know their b-ball knowledge, they're mostly represent liquor gold. They, of course, purple and gold.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? But as far as the Clippers is concerned, believe me, there's none. There's no Clipper fans. None. Forget it. They're just bandwagoners.
What is the Clipper fan really right now? I mean, are they bandwagon? They do West Coast Miami Heat fans or what? What's going on with that?
Now, you know what?
Okay. Yeah,
it's some real Clipper fans out there, man. I'm gonna tell you right now, man. You know, basically the Clipper fans are all the ones
that hate the Lakers.
Well, number one, they hate the Lakers, and they hate bandwagoners out there on the West Coast. You know,
right?
Because you know, Clippers haven't won anything. So to even like say, hey, I got season tickets to the Clippers, I think you might like them a little bit.
Well, every supposed, and I use that term loosely, supposed diehard Clipper fan is usually the person who just couldn't afford season tickets to see the Lakers. They got the shit because they were able to buy their tickets at Walmart or at their hookup at Roscoe's, and that's what they ended up doing. That's how they became Clipper fans.
Man, I'm still yet to find a Clipper fan that I even knew about a freaking Danny Manning. I'll be surprised if one day I even bump into a Clipper that knows Danny Manning.
Wow, Danny Manning.
Wow.
Hey, man, man. Hey, you can sit there and check their ass. Or know what you do? These fake-ass Lakers fans, you can check their ass with some 80s players. Like, you know, ask them, well, who's Michael Thompson? Let alone Michael Cooper. You know, just they don't know who those guys are. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, different over here. Here we even know who Ronaldo Blackburn is. You know, we even know who Quintel Woods is. Remember that shit?
What?
We do.
Quintel Woods. God, man.
Man, come on. Q was cool, man. He was
Jerome James and freaking who else was out there, man? That was a comedy show. I can't even think of it. No, Eddie Curry was kind of decent for a minute. I won't talk
about Moochie Norris. No, I'm just kidding. Moochie Norris.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rick Brunson.
Of course, Travis Knight.
I know, man. Damn.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about Travis Knight.
Yeah, UConn. You represent UConn, of course.
Yeah, that's the only reason I remember is that. I knew he went to the NBA, but then I kind of forgot about him, like just like I forgot about Wally Szczerbiak until I saw him on MSG.
Exactly, yeah. Travis Knight, former Laker and Celtic. Nick, of course.
Don't forget about Mad Dog Mark Mattson.
Mattson, yeah.
I didn't forget about him. Man,
attention, all listeners! If you listen to this conversation, you can tell we are real Knicks fans. We are diehards. You cannot find a fake one in one of us. Thank you.
No,
enjoy your day.
Really, I mean,
hey man, this is going to be a good year. It's going to be a good, excellent. It's going to be an excellent year, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited. I'm also skeptical. I think my biggest, you know, my biggest question is, of course, is number one, like it always is with every sport that I love, you know, the overall health of the athletes, and number two, you know, now going into the season with Derek Fisher being a rookie head coach. Yes, he did great. He's doing great in the summer league, but that's dealing with rookies and D League kids that are trying to get into the NBA and trying to earn their roster spot. Now, you know, in about a few short months, he's going to be coaching Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony, Andrea Bargnani, guys who have been in the league for 10, 11 years and are making, you know, $15, $16, $22, $25 million. And are all going to have their egos. They're all going to have their dirty habits that, you know, that they've, you know, developed over the years of being in the game. So it's going to be really interesting how Derek Fisher is going to be able to, you know, manage all these egos and all these personalities, even though he has, you know, experience doing it in the past, of course, playing with Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant. But it's going to be different now under this new role. And I'm just kind of curious, and I'm a little bit skeptical about it.
Hey, man, you know what? I will say this. If I was the coach of the Knicks, the new coach, and somebody tried to, you know, obviously they're making their money. That check is going to be there on the 1st and the 15th of every month. But you know what? If you're not going to buy into what we're trying to do, we're trying to win. So for you to have an ego, we didn't go to fucking playoffs last year. So for you to have an ego and we didn't go to playoffs, I'm gonna sit your ass down until you're ready to play for the Knicks. I'll let you get your paycheck and I'm gonna sit your ass down because that's what needs to happen.
Well, Joe, quick question, dude. Why aren't you an assistant coach right now? You need to drill instruct their asses. I'll be your heavy drill instructor behind you. Freaking, it's like, get your ass down.
Yeah, I mean, but how could you have an ego? I mean, like I'm from Jersey originally, right? And we had, y'all remember this term they had called poor pimping? Where you be backing up, getting your ass whooped, and talking shit at the same time?
you ain't shit. Blah, blah, blah.
And your ass running. It don't make no sense. You know, so basically, we haven't won nothing. So we need to be trying to listen. Things are trying to listen and learn, honestly.
Hey, check it out. We got Ron from Baltimore on the line, man.
Robbie!
Ron!
What's going on, fellas?
What's up? How you feeling?
I feel good, man. I feel good. How you guys feeling?
Oh, the Mets kicked in.
Knicks fans. That's what we do. We're Knicks fans. We always feel pretty good.
I'm getting upset with some people, though, on TV.
Okay. All right. We already know you hate Brian Windhorst. Who else do you hate now?
I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. I'm starting to hate on Steven. I mean, like everybody's saying, this is a throwaway year. It honestly hurts my feelings. I'm not looking at it as a throwaway year. I'm trying to win the East. I don't give a damn what anybody says. The East is wide open, okay? And I'm trying to – I know it's early. There's going to be some struggles in the triangle. I know we're trying to develop habits and fundamentals and take the load off Melo and make
Uh-oh.
People better than they are. But why
Uh-oh.
Can't Amari come into the season and act like he's damn pissed off?
Well,
I don't understand. Well, everybody's saying it's like you all act like we can't improve. You all act like J.R. Smith's not going to come in motivated now that he's healthy. You all act like Melo's going to, now that he got his money, he's going to be motivated. What the hell is going on in America?
You know what? I'll tell you, man, if I didn't know any better, I swear you was upset.
I thought you said you were cool, man.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I'm not saying we're going to win the East, guys, but when you look at this conference, I'm not saying right now we'll win the East. All I'm saying is stop saying it's a throwaway year. That pisses me off.
But like this, man. This is, I know everybody's calling us like the, you know, as high as the 60 and as low as, you know, not missing the playoffs. This is how I see it. We can go as high as the number 3 seed,
mm-hmm.
and then we can go as low as just missing the playoffs. Because, of course, you know, barring any injuries. As high as the three seed is because I say we're probably the, you know, one of the two top teams in our division.
If you win your division, you're a top 4 seed automatically.
Exactly. So that's how I say we can be as high as 3 and as low as 10.
All right, let me ask you this question. Have you guys been watching Summer League?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yep. Dude, I don't want Thanasis to go to Europe. Okay, I want him to develop. Why can't he develop here?
We have no more roster spots for him, boss.
We got to make a roster spot for this dude because he's the second best defender on the team already.
Cereal?
I want cereal.
We found this way.
Anybody that vicious in summer league, you know, where you can see him breathing fire. We need to keep that dude.
I'm not even saying I don't take summer league results. I just look at the dude and I'm like, yeah, he's raw as hell, but why can't he be raw here? And I mean, like, I look at him, he can guard better than anybody on our team.
Yeah. That guy can't defend.
Yeah.
He can defend.
Agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, because it's a roster situation. We have 15 roster spots, and you look at the team we have. Where do you know, if you bring him in, who are you willing to let go?
Good question.
Because and before you even answer that, you can't say Sotomayor and Bargnani, because that's $30-something million right there.
Shannon Brown.
He's not even on the squad right now, as far as I know.
Okay.
You know what I would try to do? I would trade J.R. Smith for some picks.
Yeah,
straight up.
I would. Yeah. I would definitely go. I would definitely do for that, at least for a pick.
I heard J.R. Smith's on the trading block.
He is.
Yeah.
But you know what? But I'm saying, don't trade them. Don't trade them for bodies. Trade them for picks and money.
Yeah.
Right. Well, right.
What have you guys? What have you guys thought of Hardaway Jr. in summer league?
No. Say what?
He's a beast.
What have you guys thought of Hardaway Jr. in summer league?
Better than his dad.
Oh yeah.
Penetrates more into the paint than he did last season. I mean, his penetration has really gotten better for sure. It's not some. Obviously, he has a good shooting touch, but his penetration to the zone, I mean, has really impressed me so far.
He looks strong.
Yeah, he's not shy to chuck up shots, which is fine. It's fine. That's what summer league's for. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys remember? You see that rookie sophomore game during the All-Star weekend last year. And you saw him chuck up shots, but he didn't miss any of them.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with Early. I think Early has been as advertised in these first few games. I know this is just summer league, but I'm just saying he's looked good with his jumper. You could tell the kid's talented. And I think Larkin in the last – I was not impressed with Larkin in the first two games, but in the last game, Larkin really showed me something. Like, this dude can play, and he can be – I think he's just as good, if not better, than Raymond Felton. He'll be a good backup.
Actually, yeah. I was thinking the same thing, because in the first game, I thought his defense was really lacking. I mean, because that other point guard was just kind of, like, walking all over him.
Yep.
And, you know, in game two, you know, he stepped it up a little, but he still needed a lot of work. In the last game –
he was good.
I don't know whether you can see. That's the thing. I don't know whether you can say he was really good or was the other team really bad, because we did whip him by 30-something points.
I didn't know that if this kid could shoot, but like obviously in that game he shot better. But I actually like he looked so much quicker with his moves, and like you could see he's a fresh live body that can get out and transition, and that gave me a little bit more hope than the first two games, because I was disappointed in the first two games.
Hey, man. Hey,
hold on. Who's our second go-to shooter after Melo so far on this particular roster?
Who's
The go-to shooter would probably be J.R. Smith.
Why?
Wait. What's the question?
Who's the number two shooter?
Why after Melo?
Like, who's going to be starting at the shooting guard?
No. Who's our – okay. In other words, who's our other scorer?
Who's our number two?
Second score.
Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, Stoudemire.
Amari's going to have to step up, too.
Yeah, he's going to have to be Amari.
That's what I was thinking. I don't like it, but I have to.
I don't
want to
say Tim Hardaway Jr. yet or JR. It's probably Amari.
But if he's healthy, he's going to – I mean, you have to remember, this guy just 3 years ago averaged 26 a game before Melo came.
Dude, I went on national radio and I got blasted, and I said, I know this man can never stay healthy, but the last 30 games, I said, I made a proclamation, I will never call into this radio station again. Amari Stoudemire, we're winning the Atlantic Division, I made that statement. And then I also said, this is just a prediction, not a guarantee, Amari Stoudemire will be an all-star this season. That's what I said. I put my entire jeopardy of my entire career of work on the line. He better not die. Huh?
Hey, did you call ESPN New York? Was that you?
Yes, I did. I did.
Oh, my God.
Steve and I went at – he almost hung up on me, and then I went after him, and then I called him out for calling out Phil, and then he hung up on me.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I thought you were crazy.
But you know what, man? I tell you, I have to agree with you. If Stoudemire, if he's able to stay healthy from wire to wire, I'm telling you, man, we could win 50 games. I put money on that.
Amari was out here in D.C. last weekend, and I actually saw some of his the last 20 minutes of his workout, because he was actually at the same gym one of my boys was at, and my friend said he looked awesome. So we'll see.
Okay.
I'm telling you, man, that was the worst coaching job I've ever seen in a long time last year. To have that much talent and to really only lose one player. I mean, yeah, we had some injuries and stuff, but we won 52 games. That's just too big of a swing to have relatively the same team. I mean, we lost Novak, we lost Landry Fields, and you mean to tell me we dropped that many games for losing those two guys? Come on,
yeah.
Man.
Have you guys seen the Bill Simmons article on Carmelo?
I'm not sure which one you're referring to. I haven't seen anything.
Well, I can send. I'll send you the link, or if you just message me. You guys got to read this article, because it hurt me the headline of it, but it goes through his entire it's probably the most in-depth analysis article on Carmelo Anthony and his career. And it basically says you can win a championship with him as your best player. And then he goes through all the rosters, all the different teams he's been on. And it's very good. You guys got to read it.
All right.
I'm messaging you right now, dude.
Message me right now and get it to all the people that are listening right now, because I'm telling you, this was one of my – it hurt me, some of the things that were said, but it was it was probably the best article I've ever read on Carmelo.
Steve, you gonna send the link out over the text message?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Ron, I get it from you.
All right, man. But here's the thing: if you only read a little bit of it, you got to read the whole thing. Just read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And look, I might disagree, and he'll get it done in New York. But there was some very good parts of the article that I found interesting. I didn't know that Carmelo had 5 coaches in 11 years. I didn't know that Carmelo Anthony's had many different owners. Compared to Dirk, has only had 3 coaches in 11 years and only one owner. I mean, the article was beautiful.
Wow.
You know what? That's key.
I haven't realized that either. Kind of think about it. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, how do you expect a guy to win a championship or to be that successful in the playoffs when there's so much instability and everything is, on his shoulders?
Right.
Yep.
Right. You can't win like that. That's what happened to Chamberlain back in the day.
I mean,
the best player
Carmelo Anthony's played with is Chauncey Billups. Think about that.
Not AI?
I mean, Allen Iverson, that was post Philly, though. That wasn't really AI. He's only had 4 guys that he's played with make an all-star game, but. Five coaches in 11 years, guys, and the article gives him a ton of credit, and gives him a ton of props through his whole career. I mean, he puts him right there with Dominique, Adrian Dantley, Paul Pierce, and Bernard King.
Yeah,
that's pretty good company right there.
I would agree to that. And last year he became a better defender and a better rebounder. He led a team in rebounding last year.
Yep. The article said, people give him crap for last year, but that was the most efficient basketball he's played.
Wow.
And that's after winning the scoring title.
I'm going to send you guys the link.
I just messaged you, dude. I'm really interested in reading this now.
I'm telling you, man, this article is very good. I mean, some of it, you might know already, but I'm telling you, you got to read it.
Hey guys, I wanted to ask you guys a question. I think we did this about a month ago. We're basically saying with Carmelo, this many wins. Without Carmelo, this many wins. So now that we do got Carmelo, I'm gonna give you mine so you guys can go around. I think I already explained why. This Joe, I already explained to you guys why I think we're going to win 50 games. But like I said, we got Melo. I think we're going to win 50, and I think that's going to be good enough for a 3 or 4 seed. But we can score around. Y'all give me your opinion.
Okay.
With Carmelo, with Calderon, with Stoudemire, I can see 49 wins. I can see them winning the division, and I can see them making the 3 or 4 seed and making the second round, depending on who we play, maybe even Eastern Conference Finals. But that's, you know, that's pushing it. Because, you know, of course, anytime any of us will say something like that, and any, you know, expert analysis, you know, listens to it, they think that we're delusional.
Right.
But, you know, that's like, you know, our glass ceiling. Realistically, they'll be, you know, just under 50, you know, maybe 45, 46 wins. And who knows? That's pretty much where I go with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Indiana's going to take a step back. I'm not buying the Chicago hype, like, because, like, basically...
Oh, no more Lance Stevenson, too.
Yeah, right. But Indiana's definitely going to take a step back. I mean, that's not just a loss. That's a big loss. And Chicago, I don't get, like, yeah, they got Pau Gasol, and that's a nice pickup, and they're going to be good because they play deep, but, like, they still haven't addressed their problem. They still don't have the score.
Oh, shit. Think about it. Yeah, you're right.
think about it. Like, obviously, Pau Gasol is going to help them because Pau Gasol is a great player. But, I mean, you're basically saying you think Doug McDermott is the guy that's going to be that score for them? I mean, come on, man. I don't mean to disagree. I mean, I think it's very hard to predict this. I think we could definitely win the division, definitely win 50 games. But, why can't we win this? Why can't we win the East? Yeah, I know it's crazy, but I have no idea how this team's – we have to become a team. We have to be able to move the ball and be a team, but why can't something special happen? I don't know, man. Why can't we stay healthy for a whole year? Why can't Amari stay healthy for a whole year? Well, why can't it be this year that everybody prays and it works out?
Hey, Rob, I told you before I loved you, man. I meant it.
I'm actually being serious, though. I know some of you probably think I'm nuts.
I totally agree with that analogy. I'm totally with you, bro. Why can't we win? That's a better question. What would prevent us from taking the division?
Who's the clear-cut front runner in the Eastern Conference right now?
I mean, okay, I will say this. I will say the Wizards are much improved.
They are scary.
They are fucking scary.
Yeah.
So I'm more worried about Washington than I am Toronto. To be
honest, Paul Pierce pickup was sneaky. That was a sneaky pickup.
Yeah.
And they still got Gortat. They still got John Wall. They are scary.
I mean, Boston ain't gonna do shit.
Did they lose
and Brooklyn ain't gonna do shit.
They lost Trevor Ariza, Christopher.
That's who it was.
Yeah, he went to Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But they're going to be making a run at Kevin Durant too. By the way, that's all everybody in DC is talking about. But.
Right in 2016.
Yeah.
Who's going to take a run at him?
They just hired his high school coach on the staff.
Wow.
Well, he's from DC, so that's why they think they have a shot at him.
Yeah.
How interesting. Hmm. So do you want to get in the money game now, huh?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I've been hearing about, you know, Kevin Durant, you know, being, you know, free in 2016 for a couple of years now because a lot of my boys who are Brooklyn Nets fans, again, the other bandwagoners, they've been telling me, oh, we're going to get Durant in 2016. I'm like, what? Why? Why would he come here? I don't get that. It's like no one's been able to give me a clear-cut thing. I get when Knicks fans try to say that, you know, say, oh, because we're at the Garden, this is the best place to win. But when I hear Brooklyn Nets fans tell me the same exact thing, I was like, okay, now you have to explain this one to me. I'm sorry, you
guys,
have to explain this
guys,
one.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Yep.
All right. Have we ever seen Carmelo Anthony play in a system where the ball is moving and they take the complete load off him and he's fresh and he's healthy throughout a full season? Have we ever seen a full season of Carmelo Anthony on a roster with talent and everybody staying healthy? Have we ever seen that?
I've seen it one time, the Olympics.
The Olympics.
And what happened at the Olympics?
Gold medal.
Yep.
He made like a million at one game.
I think we can win this.
Go to bed, boy.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. Cleveland picked me early. Jump talk to us about him.
I like him. I think he, you know, after training camp and, you know, of course those five or six exhibition games that we'll have, I think he'll be, you know, he'll make the roster. I think he'll, you know, he'll be a suitable backup. You know, you can play him for like 10 to 15 minutes, you know, 10 to 12 minutes a game, and I think he'll be serviceable. Because, I mean, maybe even more, because, you know, unless you want to, if you want to give Melo more time on the bench and get, you know, get some more rest. But he's serviceable. You can play him for like, you know, 12 minutes at the max for right now, and then you gradually come up and see how he does.
Who is this now? Who are we talking about?
Who are you talking about?
Cleanthony Early.
Oh, man. I mean, that guy, I tell you, if he plays cards right, man, he could be in the 8-man rotation.
Oh, yeah. I think he could spell Melo, which is going to be good.
Hey guys, go on YouTube and watch the Wichita State
against
Kentucky game. He tore Kentucky ass up.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He slapped him in the mouth straight up.
Didn't he score 32 points?
Something like that.
32. He was killing them.
I was watching one of his games with against Cal Poly, and yeah, he got over 20 points. But one thing that what I really love about Early's game is his low post game. He really have a good low post. Sure, it needs improvement a little bit, but I definitely like for a small forward position that which today's game really lacks the art of the low post art. I really do like what I'm seeing with Cleanthony Early. I really do.
Yeah. He's a
winner. You know what? And know what? He's got a lot of that Melo cockiness. You know, Melo never gets mad. Melo always be smiling and stuff. But that's Melo's way of showing that he's kind of cocky and that hey, ain't no big thing. You can't really shake me. You can't really shake my psyche. He's a lot like that. This guy Early. I see that
yep.
in summer league.
Why do you think the commercial's the way it is? Of course he made it. He's Melo. Who do you think wrote that in a script?
Wow.
Hey, Chris, you about to say something?
I'm still, man, I'm loving this banter we got here. This is just one feeling being in heaven with all this blue. I'm loving it. I'm good.
Well, Steve, you always said you wanted some goons, and now you got some heavy hitters on right here on this line.
yeah, I said goons. We need the goons on the roster, man.
Yeah, really. Well, we started with that guy. We started with Jason Smith. Let's see what happens.
I mean, he's not goon. He did it one shoulder block.
Yeah, but that's why I
need to see more.
On the team. You know?
Hey,
was hanging around Phil Jackson anyway, so I didn't know what was going on.
Hey, man, I'm willing to bet some money, man, that if this guy ends up starting at the power forward, but I don't think he'll start, but I bet you he'll have more rebounds than Tyson Chandler. He'll average more rebounds a game.
Who are we talking about, Jason Smith?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if he gets the minutes. Tyson Chandler disappointed me, man.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get over how Hibbert undressed his ass 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Oh, that was ugly.
Oh, my God.
Pull your skirt down, B.
Wow.
Man, I can never get that lucky on a first date.
Wow. Wow.
I tried.
Oh, man.
But he was coming off the injury, man. But I hear what you're saying.
And the flu and some other shit. I mean, there was always something wrong with Tyson Chandler. It could have put him on the DL, but it could definitely, you know, give you a good excuse.
Right. He needs to take a damn Flintstones chewable or something. I mean, always getting these damn colds and flus and...
Yeah,
you swear? That, I'm sorry, but it's one of the few times where I agree with Stephen A. Smith, and it's like, you know, unless you have like the Ebola virus or some shit, why is you calling out? It's like you ain't got vacation days, dude. Come on now.
That's right. You know, and you're right, man. But you know what? That's history, man. He's gone. And whoever in the front office recognized that right away, and that's why he left. That's why he was packaged the fuck out of here with.
Oh, Chandler, though, man. He always played with these finesse ass power fours, man. Barney, Stoudemire, Hanger, man.
Ooh, bro, you broke up on me.
Yo.
You lost me. You lost me. All right.
Hey, Stoudemire.
I'm here.
What about him?
Hello?
I'm just saying, Hibbert had David West. Nene got top. You know what I'm saying? Lopez, Garnett. Who Stoudemire got there on the line?
Well, he used to play with Shaq.
Hey, you know what? Here's an even better question. If Stoudemire is healthy, who's a better power four in the East? If Stoudemire is healthy, who's better than him in the East at that position? Name just one player. Name one.
David West.
I don't know if you would count Joakim Noah, even though he plays center more.
David West.
David West.
All right, I'll give you that one. But so what did that tell you right there? We have one of the top power forwards in the East if he's healthy,
yes,
man. Let's just pray. Let's pray this guy is healthy, man. Because if he is, man, I'm telling you, we good.
I sure hope you're right, man.
That was my point. That's my point I was trying to make on that.
But how was – okay, who's that? Was that Ron? Are you saying that he's looking good in practice or what? I don't understand.
Yeah, he was in D.C. for a party and my friend was working out in the same gym as him like early in the morning in D.C. and I didn't see the workout, but supposedly he was watching and he said he looks awesome. That's what he said. I mean, I don't know how much you can gauge from a practice or a workout, but he said he looked great. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know why my friend would lie to me. I mean, if he did, I'd kill him.
To get that reaction that we all love you about, man.
hey guys, hey, you guys noticed that whenever we talk about Stoudemire, everybody gets quiet. There's always one person talking. It's like if we all start talking, we might get hurt or something. We all just be careful when you say anything.
I love the guy too much, man. Like, even though, I mean, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of people, a lot of Knicks fans that say, that disrespect him and say, oh, man, why did we ever sign him? And, dude, that's so easy to say right now. It's so easy to say, dude, do you realize we wouldn't have gotten anybody if we didn't pick him? We had to sign him.
That's right.
I mean, if you think about it, man, before the Carmelo trade, Stoudemire was an MVP candidate. We were in the playoffs. We were winning with Wilson Chandler and you know, my man, the Italian Stallion. We were
Danilo Gallinari.
And Amari was an MVP candidate. When Carmelo, it's hard for a player like that to come in mid-season, and then, of course, D'Antoni has his system, and he runs the way he's running it. It's hard to kind of for a player to come in like that. That's why D'Antoni's gone. It was just not going to work.
It just upsets me. Some Knicks fans, it's like, yeah, he's not healthy, but it's not his fault. Like, you can't like blame a man if a guy gets hurt. Like, it's not like he's trying to not play, you know.
Right.
But that guy's got a lot of heart, Stoudemire. You know.
He does.
I always defend him when Knicks fans hate on him. Like, I always defend him, even though, like, yeah, it's disappointing. It stinks, but. It happens, man.
Hey, you know what I always say? We got more out of him than we got of Antonio McDice.
Oh my god.
And that guy didn't even survive the preseason.
I remember that one preseason game he had where he had like the highlight reel dunk and then blah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he didn't even survive the preseason. I mean, the rest was just history. And I think we gave up who? Marcus Camby, I believe, and Nene at the time?
Yeah, well, we drafted Nene and ended up trading him and Camby for it. Man, do I wish we could take that one back.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the one I always keep saying to myself, damn, you know what, looking back, and especially with Camby, he definitely won a couple of defensive player awards in Denver. I was like, damn it, he should be a Knick, you know, not with the Nuggets.
Didn't McDice win a ring with Detroit?
Yeah.
With Detroit? I think he – didn't he win one also with San Antonio?
Not with San Antonio. I believe Detroit. I'm not quite certain, but I definitely know it's not San Antonio.
Okay.
Wow.
I want to retract real quick because when it comes to Amari Stoudemire, I'm not the biggest fan. I've been public about it, and I'm going to voice my opinion on this forum. Man, how come he didn't opt out, man? Somebody answer that. Besides being greedy.
Oh, boy. I'm going to leave that.
Because he's not Dwayne Wade. He's not stupid.
Hey, man, I have an answer to that question. It's Joe. He didn't opt out for the same reason none of us on this call would have opted out.
$23.2 million.
Hey, fellas, I got to actually bounce in like a second, but I just appreciate you all. I think the next Summer League game is tomorrow, and guys, let's just pray. Let's just continue to build, boys. It's a process, baby.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you for the thanks for the link, man. But
no worries.
I love your spirit, man.
You guys have a good night, fellas.
You too.
Oh, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, see later.
Yep. That's my man right there.
I'm from Baltimore, y'all.
Yep. Diehard.
Crazy Ron Friedman, man.
Hey, Steve Blair. Hey, Steve Blair, are you going to the Bronx Day Party, man?
You know, I saw the flyers for that. I might, you know, I know they thought they had some picnics and stuff. I might do the picnics. You going out there?
To the where?
They have some picnics in, I think, in the park, like Grand Park. I might do that.
I think one was a cookout and one was the Bronx Day thing, man. But you know they're gonna be wilding out there, man. We got some more fans now.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely go check that out though. I know they got a whole bunch of outing venues, the club, and I'll probably not do the club thing, but I'll definitely do the cookouts and stuff like that.
Right.
It's been building up the last couple of years over there.
Hey, yeah. Steve. Real quick, and we're gonna get off topic for just like 1 second off of the Knicks and talk about last night, the All-Star game.
Oh God!
Our captain Derek Jeter.
That was cool.
Thoughts, please, real quick.
Yeah, that was a great commercial, man. Yo,
he's the man.
That commercial was on the hook.
It was.
It is.
It was. You know, I had tears in my eyes a little bit, man. I ain't gonna lie.
I almost did too.
It was an ultimate tribute, man. I did a fantastic job there, man.
I mean, come on. Mello, Phil, Jeannie Buss, Jay-Z, Billy Crystal, all them fools, man.
Man, they could have left Jay-Z ass out.
Really, I like the Boston Red Sox fan. I like that tip of the hat right there.
I like that, too.
Isn't it kind of interesting, though? They showed the Boston Red Sox fans, but they blurred out the New York Mets and the Mr. Met.
That
was awesome.
Oh, man. That was just a great tribute. You know, and he deserves it, man. You talk about one of the classic acts of all sports history, man. I mean,
he might be the greatest pro athlete.
Nothing. You can't throw him in scandal. Not really. You
except
know?
For, you know, banging the most hottest chicks in the world.
Yep. Yeah. That's the part that gets me, man. He's been single all this time, man, banging the hottest chicks in the world, and has never gotten in any trouble.
Not one.
Not a baby mama, no nothing.
That damn A-Rod will fuck up a glass of water. Oh, my God. There's me, Joe. I'm sounding off, man. I can't help it, man.
Yo, that dude, you ain't hearing about one thing from this dude, though, on, like, 18 feet. That's crazy.
You know what you used to hear about him? He stays out late. Remember that?
Yeah. They even made a commercial about it.
Wow.
That's right. That was it. That was the only complaint. And that came from Steinbrenner. Then that shit went away. You know, 5 championships, you know, that cures a lot of fucking ills, you know?
Well, tell that to Kobe. He has 5, but he still got his, you know, his problems.
Oh, God. I don't even want to talk about that. I can't stand the dude, man. But you know what? He's yesterday's news, too, man. He's yesterday's news, too.
It's a bad
team, completely, all the way up and down, front office and every fucking thing. In that market,
You know,
the number two market in the country.
Well,
it's crazy.
I know. I'm kind of glad. Fuck it. We had all this misfortune all these years. Fuck it. Somebody else's turn. You know. And look how we're doing it with the formula that had them successful. So hey, I'm thrilled. I don't give a shit. Probably because I'm a Nick, man. You know, that's it. That's what that is. You know. But that's all right, man. I mean, and you know what? I see something on the horizon here too, man. Like everyone is saying earlier, I think there's going to be some positivity with Amari, Bongnani, all of this, all of these guys. This is a brand new atmosphere. There's no real reason to be that skeptical. If they fall short, hey, I look at it as a rebuilding process. You know, this is 10 times better than anything we had in the last year, or well.
Last decade.
Yeah. So this is always, this is an improvement. We got the right professionals to handle it. So fuck it. Everything
even better than the 54-win season?
Say again?
Even better than the 54-win season?
It's going to be different because it's a different atmosphere. You know? The 54-win season, there was a lot of... You know what? That's just it about being a Knick, man. I mean, when the Garden has your back and everyone turns out the way they do and everything is electrified in New York City, man, everybody's coming the fuck out. It's the hottest ticket in town. We rolling really, really heavy. And you know, the celebrities are out there and sports pages are fucking bleeding blue and shit like that. That's a fucking great feeling. Sorry, excuse my language. It's a wonderful feeling. And that's what we need to get back. That's what we need.
You know something?
You guys know exactly how that is. And if when the Knicks are flying, I mean, like in the 54-win season, when they were flying for a minute like that, it was electric. But
you know something? You know something, Chris? I remember a talk I used to have with my old buddies back when we were in Iraq. And we were, you know, we had a time to talk about, you know, sports and stuff. And this one sergeant came out of nowhere and told me, "You're from New York, right?" He was like, "Yeah." He told me, "Man, when your teams are winning, you guys are the most annoying motherfuckers there are. Because y'all will not stop talking about y'all New York teams. If it's the Knicks, the Yankees, the Rangers, the Giants, the Jets, the Mets, we don't stop talking. That's because we bleed this stuff. Those sports organizations that I just mentioned, they, you know, they're our heart. You know, they pump blood into us, and that's how we are. You know, there is an arrogance to being a New Yorker, let alone a New York Knicks fan.
I mean, you know, look at the Knicks. You know, I mean, New York. You know, we have the whole pulse of New York City, man. I mean. What we do is different than anyone else. When you ask a New Yorker what time it is, he says, "Fuck you, go get a goddamn watch, bitch." And that's what I love. You know, we have it's an inherent swagger that the whole town buys into. And if our sports teams are winning, when the Yankees are winning, it's electric. Let's give them some credit. When the Mets are doing their thing, it's fantastic. The Rangers will set the damn garden on fire. But what's really beautiful is when our B-ball team is really, really fucking rolling. I know there was one year, 1999, where we just thought, okay, it's fucking over. I'm glad we backed into the playoffs. You know, we ain't gonna do shit. Let's go fishing, you know? And all of a sudden, Allen Houston hit that shot. That bounce off the rim shit. That flew in over morning. And then all of a sudden, people's, you know, it's sort of like the equivalent of a puppy's ears going up. Like, hey, what's going on over there? People stopped calling for Van Gundy's head. The newspapers got electrified. Strangers start talking on the subway a little bit about what we were doing. Then they swept Atlanta. And that was really electric. And then people start believing, you know, we can do something against Indiana,
yeah.
We could do something here. We've got some promise. And sure, lo and behold, we got a hold of that. That was the last jump.
Wow.
Man, that game was that game six. But that game seven, I mean, Allen Houston went the fuck off in that game seven. Oh, my God. Against Indiana.
He sure did. And that's what the city's and that's what makes this a great sports town, man. And I die flew all the fucking time for moments like that. You know? And hey, you know, I think that's coming back. Phil Jackson knows exactly what the fuck this how electric this team this atmosphere can be. He was part of it several times. He remembers what it's like. He knows how to get it there. And, yeah, he's a Zen master. I believe in the cat. And I think everybody else should buy into it, too.
I bought it.
He's forgotten. He had some spots around the way, Chicago and L.A. And he was, you know, he did his job in those spots. You know, it helped that he had a lady in one of them. You know, that worked out. But now, you know, the whole town, he's got the whole town by their balls right here, right now. He's the man as we speak. And I pretty much think that he's going to bring this franchise back to the respectability that it fucking deserves. And
but you know what they say,
I
man.
I know
going
to be a box this year and everybody's invited.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, once a Nick, always a Nick.
Yeah,
that's why they put it on that jersey. Speaking of jersey. Speaking of jerseys real quick, have you guys seen the mock-ups for the new Christmas Day jerseys?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm kind of glad they got away from the sleeves. I'm just saying.
I'm glad they got away from the orange ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like joints.
I didn't see it.
Look up Nick's First Take. I actually put up a mock-up of it. Because the one they had was really blurry and it had just zeros. I actually, since I graphic design, created one that said, you know, I put metal jersey on there. So this is what it's going to look like. Basically, it's, you know, the traditional white jersey with in the front, it's got the basketball Knicks logo, you know, the secondary logo with the number underneath. On the back, it has the NBA crest on the top, the number, and then underneath, it's a blue bar with the name on it. I think it's pretty hot. I mean, if anything, they could probably make that their, you know, their normal day jerseys.
I like it.
The Christmas Day ones.
Sounds like a winner, man. I'm gonna check that out.
Hey guys, I got a question for you. So,
go for
what
it.
Do y'all want to see out of the players make the roster? Like, who you want to see make the roster from the Summer League?
Besides Clay Anthony Early.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Tim Hardaway Jr., I'm willing to give Jeremy Tyler that, you know, that extra, you know, that one more shot.
Yeah, can't get rid of Shumpert. Got to keep Shumpert.
That's the thing is that, you know, if you keep Shumpert, what do you do with JR and Tim Hardaway? I mean, I know a lot of people want to get rid of JR, but did y'all see his interview today on First Take?
No, what did he say?
I'll send Steve the YouTube clip, but basically, you know, it was a lot of things that was going on in that locker room that, you know, that really just killed, you know, the whole atmosphere of what's going on with that team. I mean, besides, you know, him being, you know, irresponsible and immature and you know, him being a goofball, you know, doing that, untying the shoes and trying to lighten up the mood. But the thing was that, you know, the locker room was in disarray last year. And, you know, unfortunately, it did start with Tyson Chandler. And,
yeah.
With his mother, unfortunately, he got traded.
Tell me about it.
It started, you know, when Tyson called out Mike Woodson on his defensive schematics, you know, on the constant switching. And, you know, Tyson was under the belief that, you know, you shouldn't switch every single time, which
he's right.
But the fact was is that was what was being called. You can't just switch the play in the middle. You can't call an audible in a basketball game just like that, you know, when you don't have the ball.
That's right.
You know, in football, only the quarterback can call an audible, right? So, you know, if you don't have the ball on defense, you can't just call an audible. and tried to, you know, and tried to change things. And, you know, it's the same thing with Raymond Felton. You know, when they were running the pick and roll, sometimes, the, you know, role players was just not, you know, playing their role, or they were just disagreeing with it. And there was a lot of dissension between, you know, J.R., Melo, Felton, Tyson, you know, and everybody else all in between. And, you had a lot of guys, you know, who wanted to play but didn't know what they were running.
Right.
And,
well,
and as much as Mike Woodson tried to man the ship as much as he could, he was set to fail regardless. So anything he did, he was screwed.
Is that part of what happened with Bino and Bargnani during that fucking what game was that? I think it was the Wizards game.
Yeah, it was.
That might be one of them. There was another one where I don't know if you remember social media went crazy where Melo was just yelling at Mike Woodson. Let's just play the fucking game or some shit like that, and you know stuff like that happened on the regular, and it happened in practice, and you know, besides the fact with JR not doing what he was doing, that kills your morale. Whenever you go into any line of work, and if you're not feeling it, if you're not motivated, or you don't feel like someone's riding the ship, what is that going to do? It's going to kill your morale. So, you had 12 guys on a team trying to win, but they didn't know how to because you had 12 individuals.
Right.
You know, and that's why, Phil felt the need of getting rid of Tyson Chandler and Raymond Felton because, it wasn't just them two, but they were two of the biggest pieces. The other ones, the ones that are still remaining are either, they're looking to be dealt or Phil feels that, you can mold them.
Right. Okay. Wow. That's insightful. I knew there was something we didn't know about just by their body language when they come out of the locker room. Sometimes. I didn't feel this. Almost like they didn't feel like being Knicks. But you know what?
Somebody had brought up a good point tonight as well. I heard this on one of the talk shows. This year, out of no other years, this is Melo's team this year.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. So he has to be the leader on the court and in the locker room. He got the charisma. He got the respect of all the players. The players that didn't have any respect for him are gone.
Right.
So, it starts in training camp, man. He's got to be – he's not only got to be the man, but he's got to be the leader of the team.
He
got to pull somebody
to the
side.
Do you think he could be the leader, though?
Huh?
Do you think he could be the leader, though?
I think so, man. I think so.
I think if as long as I hate to say this kind of thing because it goes against whenever I argue with somebody about this stuff, but if Phil and Derek get into his head and make him believe it, and institute those principles that Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant have both had to endure in order to change their games, in order for them to become champions that they are. If Melo buys into that same mentality,
and I know he will,
I mean, there's no reason for him not to now because there is no going to Chicago. There is no talking about going to L.A. or Houston. You signed the contract. You are here for the minimum of 4 years. It's time, to either become Jordan or. You could be Darko Milicic. I don't know.
I do think. I really do think he can do well in that triangle offense, though. I really do, though. Now, the money is one thing. You got to kind of pay him to keep him because if you want to have a chance to win with the Knicks, you kind of had to sign him. But I think last year was such a messed up season, man. I think he could bounce back, man.
I know he could.
Yeah, one thing you guys will notice, and I know I had made the joke about the Olympics earlier and everything, but one thing that you guys will notice, he plays awesome in All-Star games. He plays awesome in Olympic games where the ball is flowing and the ball is passing and it's moving and players are moving. You'll have that this season It'll be condensed. And well, obviously it'll be a little bit more disciplined. But I think it'll be when you're in a flow with anything. When you got a little flow going, man, it makes a big difference, man. When you're just kind of just stagnant and everything kind of falls on you, man, that's a lot of pressure, even for the superstars.
On that
you note
know, of how Melo plays in the All-Star games, last year, didn't you and everyone else that I know who are diehard Knicks fans believe that he was the MVP of that All-Star game?
He was the MVP, but just admit, John Wall got the hell off. He went off, too.
Oh,
and,
he did because he had that
–
Well, Kyrie had that, you know, that crazy third quarter, but
yeah.
I'm sorry. I look at those statistics and I look at everything. I'm like,
you're right.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Melo was the clear MVP. LeBron may have been the captain, but Melo was the MVP.
He was. I agree with you.
He was. Yeah, he was. I didn't think that was going to happen again.
I mean, didn't he break the 3-point record for 3-pointers in that game?
Yeah.
I think he had 7.
Something like that. Well, remember the Olympics, that one game that he had where he shot like 13 threes and made them all.
Yeah. I mean,
at that point, like LeBron and all those and Wade and all those guys, they were just like, all right, where Melo at? There you go. Melo behind the arc, clink, gone. I mean, that's how it was during
what.
The Olympics. He was just in another zone, and that was just – That was the Melo show, and that's what we were hoping we were going to get, you know, the following season, and we kind of did. The sad thing about it was the other guys didn't come with him on the team.
Yep, you're right. But I'm excited about Calderon. I think this guy, man, I think this might be what we need, man. I'm just shocked Dallas let him go. But Tyson Chandler? No problem.
You were talking about ball movement a little bit ago, and that's the key. You got Calderon and Pablo doing that thing in the backcourt, man.
It's gonna be an international style of ball, and then Shane Larkin, he gonna use his athleticism and combine that with some tutelage and how to play some European ball. It's gonna be nice, man. That should be the least problem we should have this year, point guard. Our worst problem is gonna be our least problem this year.
Yeah, that's going to be – I like it. I like the potential we have there. I'm not worried about that anymore. You know, I think the key is what kind of Stoudemire are we going to get. And if we get a nice, healthy, strong, confident Stoudemire that's buying into this whole Derek Harper system, look out. Look out.
Okay. Hey, who do you start, Bargnani or Stoudemire? Who would be better coming off the bench than Shane?
I would say.
Hey, Joe, before anybody answers that question, anybody hear what Phil said about that? Phil wants Amari playing the center.
Yeah.
I think Amari can do it. He can do it.
What you think about that, Joe and Chris and Andrew?
I don't really know. Yes.
I don't.
Wait. Playing center. Okay, let's look at the Eastern Conference. Okay. All right. Hibbert. I don't know what to
and Brook Lopez.
And Brook Lopez is a beast. There you go. Noah was in any other season MVP candidate if he wasn't last year. Let me see. I don't know who's in the middle for Toronto offhand right now. The cat from that was just re-signed with the Bullets. I mean, the Bullets. I call them the Bullets. The fucking
Gortat.
Gortat. He's a monster. I don't really like it, but if Phil knows something, and that's another thing. We keep talking about Phil.
Yeah. It's
okay. Is this going to be the same program or what? I don't know. But I think that Stott can play some center, but if you're talking, the impression I got was, hey, he will be the center. You know, he will be the man.
I think it'll be all right.
Well, think about it. In 2010, when he was an MVP candidate, that's pretty much what he played mostly, was center.
But is he still healthy like that? know. I don't know. I can't say
That's been my freaking, you know, my biggest concern with Amari. I mean, I want to have my faith and hope in him, but because, you know, it's three straight seasons of, you know, either if it wasn't a fire extinguisher, it was his, you know, microfractures and mace restrictions. It's always something. So, you know, you always have this problem, you know, in trying to keep in this faith in him. Yep. Even though when he's, you know, when he's playing his full game, he's scoring 20, 22 points at a high, you know, at a high clip and rebounding, and he's shot blocking, and he looks like the old Amari, but you just don't see him consistently every day.
That's my issue. That's my issue. At this point, I don't know if he's any more healthier than Kevin Garnett is in Brooklyn. So that's what that's for.
I don't even know about it, that. I'm surprised that, you know, that Brooklyn decided to keep him for another year, but they wouldn't keep Paul Pierce.
I'm kind of blurry on that. I don't know what the hell happened there. Did Pierce leave, or did they decide to that they weren't going to sign him, or
Pierce originally wanted to go to the Clippers. He wanted to reunite with Doc, but the problem was is that Brooklyn wouldn't want to do a sign and trade with the Clippers because they had nothing that they were willing to offer them. So he just went to Washington and got the deal that he got and was willing to go down there.
He improves that team, man.
He
sure
does.
You know?
He's the best team in the East on paper.
I mean, that's a very scary notion, man, to see his ass in a Wizards uniform now. And he can. The other thing about Pierce is Pierce at his age and with all the tread that he has, he can still give you 35 fucking minutes, you know? So, I don't know, man.
That's the only team that scares me in the East is the Wizards.
That's
the Cavs. They're young. They can run.
What about the Cavs?
I'll be honest with you. I think that that's going to probably take a year to kind of shake out.
Unless they got Love.
Because no one's really, and I don't think that's going to happen either. Because Love's going to want max money, and they're not going to be able to get that deal done. He might as well stay his ass in Minnesota and get that money. I'm serious.
I don't think money is an issue. I think the only issue that's holding up that deal is that Cleveland's is reluctant to include Andrew Wiggins, That's what's holding that up. That's the reason why Golden State's in the problem where it's right now, because they were willing to give up Harrison Barnes and you know, the two other cats that they had over there, you know, that were really good players, and then they said no. David Lee and who was the other one?
They didn't want to give up Klay Thompson, though.
That's what it was.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did you say that Cleveland didn't want to give up Wiggins for Love?
Exactly.
Why?
Because they didn't want to mortgage their future on that.
Wait. Are we talking about Kevin Love?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Tony Love. Buddy Love from Dr. Doolittle.
Wait a minute. They didn't want to part with Andrew Wiggins to acquire Kevin Love. Are you talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yes, the
Cavaliers. You make that trade?
Not you have LeBron. Hell yeah, you make that trade.
Man, of course you make that trade. That's a no-fucking-brainer. They fucking make that kind of trade on the schoolyard.
But Kevin Love, it ain't going to be just Kevin Love, though. I mean, they're going to want something bad
Wait a minute. Kevin Love is a proven look. I don't know
what
I'm talking about from the Minnesota end, man.
I shit about his attitude or whatever, but which I don't really blame him. He's in fucking cold-ass Minnesota during the winter. But, hey, you make that fucking trade. You got Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Deion Waiters, and the absolute king on your fucking team. You're going to go really, really fucking far. That's damn near guaranteed Eastern Conference Finals right there.
And they just signed James Jones and Mike Miller today.
Yeah, so
Wait a minute. Was this a proposal, or were they actually talking about this?
That's been the rumor for like the last week or two, ever since the draft that, you know, Minnesota wanted the number one pick. The number one pick ended up being Andrew Wiggins, and Cleveland just told Wiggins that he's not going to get traded. And
they,
I'm like,
they wanted Andrew Wiggins, and I think they wanted their number one next year for Love.
Fuck, you do it.
I would too.
Pick next year if they get it, Kevin Love.
Because like, you know they're not going to get the number one pick again.
No, man.
Wait, hold on, hold on. They did get it four times out of the last 5 years, so they might.
Man, you send Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, and next year's fucking number one to Minnesota, and you get Kevin Love and probably they got a center over there. I mean, a forward over there too. The utility guy, Derek Williams, I think his name is.
Nah, he's going, man.
Or Anthony Randolph, one of those two guys. Anyway,
Randolph from the Bulls, and he's about to go too.
You got to get Kevin Love. You got to make a trade like that when you have LeBron on your squad, man.
But you know what?
Making the basketball decisions over there.
But you know what? It's a dollar and cents. It's a dollar and cents reason too. I mean, Andrew Wiggins probably going to be an all-star player in 4 or 5 years. But now you bring – I mean, would you rather keep Andrew Wiggins? I mean, those rookies are on three-year, four-year deals. So you're getting him on the cheap. And he's going to end up probably being an all-star. In the next 4 years, you got Kevin Love. You have to pay max dollars to. And now in that fourth or fifth year, now he's at the end – now he's getting towards the end of his career. So
if
really,
he plays with LeBron James – and
the
Kyrie in that particular David Black system where it's pretty European-based, you know,
right,
the constant
right.
movement, sharing of the ball, freaking trap defenses.
Yeah, it's
he'll
a modified Princeton offense.
He'll be fine for the next 5 to 7 – Kevin Love I'm talking about. He'll be fine for the next 5 to 7 years. And there's a couple of rings in there, too, if you do the shit right. Okay? But for you, I'm sorry. I've been under the weather. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows I've been out of the mix. But if I had heard that shit, I would have fucking had a heart attack. That's the craziest shit ever. You make that trade. Look, Wiggins is.
But you know what? Somebody knows something that we don't know.
I seen that kid disappear in the fucking NCAAs, and I said, okay, he's up there sulking like a little bitch. Okay? And when I saw that shit, I said, okay, good for him. Somebody will get him, probably like Cleveland, who was down in the dumps last year. And they actually did. So, okay. At this point, I know he's got, you know, his athleticism is off the charts and shit, but he hasn't done anything. He has no jumper. Not really. And he's still got to learn this fucking game. When you bring Kevin Love in here to work with LeBron, who will be, I mean, and Kevin Love will fucking, you know, he'll kiss the king's feet. Shit. He'll help him find his, he'll help the emperor find his new fucking clothes. You bring him in there, shit, they'll like the Eastern Conference up. And that's the scary notion. But if you don't make a move like that from the front office, whether it be dollars or cents or whatever you do, you don't make a move like that, then to me, that tells me that you're fucking either inexperienced, scared, paranoid, or just fucking stupid. You know? That's the problem I have with the NBA sometimes. Some of these general managers don't need to be general managers, man. I'm so happy the Knicks got a real one. A real president. You know? Because I'd fucking go crazy again if I had to deal with, what's his dickhead? The silent GM there.
Ooh, Steve Mills?
I'm sorry. I'm glad I didn't say his name. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, this is my, that's an Isaiah Thomas move right there. You don't fucking pick him up. Shit.
No, I'm pretty sure Isaiah Thomas would have done it, added a couple of draft picks, and then paid him like $200 million.
Hey, but you know what? But what I will say about Steve Mills is this. The one is two reasons why he's still hanging around. You know, Dolan wants somebody to kind of keep an eye on things for him. Phil's running it, but he wants somebody to keep an eye on things. But the second thing is this. Where Phil can't make a deal, Steve Mills, he has a lot of friends around the league. And so if they're trying to pull off a tough deal, that's where he comes in handy, you know.
He does have a lot of relationships and a lot of contacts with a lot of the CAAs and all the other agencies around there, and a lot of the players, and he has a lot of international contacts. It's crazy how much Steve Mills really does know about basketball, but last year you just didn't see it. You just saw a lot of this craziness.
I never heard the guy's voice.
Yeah.
I never heard him say one fucking thing. And he's the general manager of what did we talk about earlier? The most valuable NBA
franchise. Most valuable NBA franchise in the world.
I never heard the guy say one thing. Not a goddamn thing. I never seen him come out front and say, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're planning to do. This is our five-year plan. You know, this is what we're hoping for. This is the status of the team as we know. I never saw him say shit. He's like the goddamn accountant in the jewelry office that you never see, but he said that you can't apply for credit here. That's what
he's the one pushing the button to the internet for the CAA rumors, man.
Fucking Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Some fucking Wizard of Oz. You have to have Toto go pull the fucking curtain back or whatever. You know, I don't know him. I don't know nothing about the guy. But you know what? If he does have that kind of pull, he better open up his dialogue a little bit better to Phil Jackson. I hope he will.
Right. Hey, Ron, you know what? Because what's going to happen, I mean, put it this way. I mean, we've been cash-strapped for a good while. So this guy operates well when, you know, just like with any GM, if you're cash-strapped, you can't do shit. But this guy does good when there's cap space. He does real good.
You know what? I saw a player named Greg Monroe for Detroit.
Who got paid ridiculously.
What did he get?
He got like $63 million.
Damn. hey, it ain't better than Chris Bosh. God damn. Chris Bosh.
Yeah, but Chris Bosh got that by default. Greg Monroe got that straight up.
Was Stan Van Gundy getting that contract?
Exactly. You see, that's the thing. That's the thing that people, and actually, that's what got Lance Stephenson all heated. When Greg Monroe can get $63 million for 4 years, while Lance Stephenson was only getting 3 years at 44 something. And
well, hell, shit. Jordan was about to give Gordon Hayward $63 million, man. What he was talking?
Exactly my point. You know, now you know that goes along the lines of why LeBron signed his 2-year deal instead of the full max.
I'm glad you said that. I got another question. Let me ask you a question. Put your blue jersey down for just a second.
Go for it.
Bosh signs with Houston. What does Melo do?
He goes to Miami.
I mean, to me, Melo's going nowhere. He was, in my mind, Melo was never going anywhere.
I agree with that.
You see, if Bosh goes to Houston and LeBron stayed in Miami, then Melo goes to Miami.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Right. I'm going to tell you the reason why I disagree. I mean, you guys could be right, but you know what? Even with Melo not taking the max, and he didn't take the max, the most he could have made was $88 million. $89 million, something like that. I think the Lakers could have gave him like 90, 95 or whatever.
96.
Right. That's still $30 million. So even with Melo taking a severe pay cut, you know, to help the Knicks in the future, we still are gonna be paying him more money, and then we could have even brought LeBron over to New York. I'm glad that didn't happen, I'm just saying. But it created, I mean, it's the money, I'm telling you right now. Melo was going nowhere. I wasn't even worried about it. He was going
right,
nowhere.
Right, but you see, that's why it's kind of interesting how Melo did what he did while LeBron did what he did. See, LeBron signed a 2-year deal for $42.9 million with an opt-out after the first year. The reason he's doing that is simply because the new TV contract is going to influx, give the NBA more revenue, which then by default increase the salary cap tremendously. Mm-hmm. So what he would end up doing was he would be signing 1 to 2 year deals every year and basically Jordanizing it and making the maximum and getting a pay increase each and every time he gets a new contract. He has no intention of leaving Cleveland. I don't see him leaving Cleveland
right.
ever again. Now, I mean, that after all that, I don't think he's ever leaving Cleveland. But this gives him the opportunity to, number one, make the most money as humanly possible. This guy is going to be so freaking rich, it's not even going to be fair anymore. We're just going to be just calling him, like, you know, Donald Trump or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Bill Gates of the NBA.
Didn't Michael Jordan just hit a billion?
I'm sorry?
Didn't Michael Jordan just hit a billion in net worth, something like that?
Something like that. And that's just mainly on Jordan Brand. That's not even including all that he made in his NBA career.
That's crazy, man.
But you know what they were saying about that fifth year, and we were the only team that can offer Melo that fifth year. See, at 35, nobody was going to be paying Melo $25 million. So that fifth
absolutely
year,
not.
That was very important to happen because at 35. You know, your skills start diminishing a little bit. You're not going to – nobody gets fucking $25 million at 35 years old. But he's going to get it.
Well, he actually makes – on this contract, he doesn't make – he makes $29 million. And that's, you know, that's incredible. And that's the reason why he did what he did. Because remember back in 2007 or 2006 – When all those guys were trying, you know, were signing 3-year deals, he signed a 5-year deal because he wanted to make sure he had that max money. He wants that security. Melo's only worried about, you know, if he gets hurt today, he knows he has a guarantee tomorrow. As opposed to LeBron is so, you know, confident in his skills and in his health and doesn't look at and knows that even if he breaks his ACL tomorrow. And he is going to get a max deal no matter where he goes.
Right.
Because it's fucking LeBron James. Carmelo Anthony, on the other hand, he's not LeBron James. And I'm sure that that Melo absolutely knows that, identifies that, and realizes that, you know, you can't take that risk, that LeBron risk, when you know you're not LeBron.
Right. Let me switch gears for a minute, gentlemen. Let me ask you, and lady, if she's still here. Let me ask a quick question. This is kind of off the subject. Who do you see as the most surprised up-and-coming team, East or Western Conference, this year in the NBA, right now based on what you've seen in training camp and what you've seen with moves being made and basically probably what you might have saw in last year's playoffs?
Hands down, the Washington Wizards.
Oh, yeah. Number one seed right there.
Wow. Anybody else? I mean, you know,
In the East, I've been saying the Wizards all along in the East. In the West, I'm probably going to say Dallas is going to be much improved.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, now they got Chandler.
If I had to pick a West team, let me go with, I think Portland's ready to make a step, knowing that Houston just messed up their whole free agency.
I'm going with the East, man. I mean, I think Washington is going to be very good, barring injury, but I really like the Charlotte team, man. Even they had a stinky draft, but now the Stevenson, they're going to be a thorn in everybody's ass. Yeah, what you see, very young legs on that team. Yeah, man, Kemba Walker.
Man, I love Kemba Walker. I know he said this a couple of times before, and I really wish he was a Knick, man. I so wish that dude would have been a Knick, and I know he does too.
I wish all of them.
That's his dream team. He wants to wear that blue. He said that many times too.
He's a New York boy. What do you expect?
Yeah. He said that many times, and All right, man. He'd be wonderful. Oh, God. You know what? I don't know what his scoring average at UConn was, but I know one thing. Whenever he hit the garden during the Big East conferences, he lit the place up. And he was right in his zone. So, yeah.
Because he was at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
In his mind, he was in his home arena. It's like, fuck UConn. I'm in the garden, baby.
Man. All right, well, man, you guys, this is what it's going to be like every damn week, man, if we're going to have a fantastic goddamn winter.
Well, think about it. This is just the off season. Imagine when the season starts.
Oh,
when we actually got shit to dissect.
I think the remaining call is on the line. I think we all need Giants, Yankees, Rangers on this call right now. All four of us.
Yeah. Are we? Really?
Just
okay. Well, we're on to something. We are on to something. All right.
Good. But yeah, we got about 5 minutes left, man. Hey, Joe and Angel and Chris, any final thoughts? From last week's transactions or anything?
I really hope that that we do end up getting more bigs. I'm with you, Steve. I hope we get more goons.
Goonies!
You know, we need some goons. And I really hope that, we can stop talking about it and we can start living it. Because, I don't know about you. As much as I love talking about it, I just want to live it already.
Hey, man.
I think there's a shock left. There's one more shock left. It's probably going to be Bargnani or JR, but it's one more shock in their trade or movement left before the actual preseason begins. We got one more. I don't know what it's going to be.
I don't think anybody does.
But okay. I think there's another rabbit that Phil is going to pull out. And let's just stay tuned and not be surprised when it happens.
Okay. This is Joe, y'all. I think, if y'all didn't hear, when we talk about goons, right, okay, we got this guy that we just signed today. If they bring Meta back, that'll be goon number two. But check this out. If y'all been watching Summer League, Kmart has been in the stands hanging out. He had his ankle cleaned out about a month ago.
Right.
And that's what really messed him up the second half of the season was that ankle. He got the ankle cleaned out, and if Phil decides to bring him back, I think we'll be set as far as being tough. I think we'll be good to go.
Wow. I didn't. You know what? That's some good news. I forgot all about him.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about him. I haven't even thought about the guy.
Yep.
Wow.
And he said he wants to come back. Kmart.
He
so
does.
Kmart and Meta.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that Kmart and Meta, like I've been saying, two or three times prior, it's roster spots. You know, if you pick up those two, who do you drop?
D'Alembert.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, and it'll ease up in the pocket too if D'Alembert walks. If Kmart and Meta
I would say
more than healthy. Let's just say it like that.
I don't see Phil doing that, but I keep on hearing Phil's really high on D'Alembert. So if anything, he probably he's thinking about moving Ellington, but who knows?
Yeah.
Okay.
But before the show wraps up, guys, I'm gonna bid you guys good night. Look me up, like my page, Knicks First Take. To give a shout out to those guys, to the crew, and y'all have a good night. Stay, stay bleeding blue, and go Knicks all the way.
Hey, you said Knicks First Take or Knicks First Take?
Yes, sir. First Take. Knicks First Take.
Gotcha.
Good night, big dog.
Good night, man. All right, let me later, Steve.
Yes, sir. Hey, Joe, you got any final thoughts you wanna add? We got 2 minutes left.
Hey, I'm good, bro. Hey, like I said, man, it's coming together. It's coming together.
It is.
All right. Hey, Miles, what's going on, man? Any final thoughts, bro?
I've all thought it out. Everybody's already said what I feel, man. I'm very, very optimistic again. I feel a new atmosphere is being put together right now, and I think the Garden's going to fill up with a lot of that momentous craziness that we always bring, and we're going to look very, very good. Trust me, I'll just put it that way. I'm not going to say anything negative about my team. I can't do it right now. I'll say it when we fuck over the season.
That, man. Yeah, man. Everybody, I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank Al, TT, Ron from Baltimore, Jerry in California, my man Joe here in the ATL, Angel, Chris, myself, man, we Bleed Blue. We'll be here next Wednesday talking more Knicks on the Bleed Blue show. Tell a friend to call into the show. Have some fun. All I can say is, you know, for the Summer League, go Knicks. And everybody have a good night and take care. Have a good night.
Night, all.
Yeah.